かはんにゃはらみたしんぎょう。
Thank you for joining the Zen Care Podcast. These recorded Dharma talks are given freely to our community in the heart of New York City, which we are honored to now share with you. New York Zen Center for Contemplative Care is dedicated to transforming the nature of care through contemplative practice by meeting illness, aging, and death with compassion and wisdom.Learn about us at zencare.org.
I was admiring the cherry blossoms that are opening on the altar. Zoomers, you're going to have to imagine them.But they are not far. They're brought to set an offering, which is, you know, very traditional, to bring things when you come. But it was brought by a woman who Chodo knew as a teenager.And supported and was just like a really awesome neighbor who helped raise her. And so when she gave the branches, there was no blooms. Mm-hmm. And they're just getting more and more beautiful as the blooms are opening. So it just reminds me so often.In a life of practice, and that was 35, 40 years ago. 5 or 6 years ago. But a good amount of time. How things take the time they take to bloom.And many of us are always kind of hurrying along for it to bloom. But if you're hurrying for things to bloom, like I've come to the Zendo twice, or I've come a couple times, or I've come for even a couple of years, I always highly encourage people to stick around for 30 years.And then you really notice amazing things. We're on the 32nd day of our practice period, and it's been such a rich period of practice. The talks have been really beautiful.And the teachings of Kodo Sawaki Roshi to really, you know, I just loved what Jisho Warner was sharing about. You know, he was a lion of the Dharma in the story that she told about her Uchiyama Roshi, who was his Jisha for many, many years, decades, attending him.And said, you know, one day will I become a lion of the Dharma? And Kodo Sawaki saying, no! You are a violet. You will become a violet. So beautiful. Someone reminded me that sometimes people come here and actually...One of our Sangha members showed a video of a ceremony to their dad, and he's like, yep, it's a cult. Bowing, incense, it's a cult. But I think we often misunderstand that if the practice is going well, that no one is becoming like anyone else.Which is not like a cult. My teacher wrote about the difference between, you know, bad religion, basically, is when people believe are telling you what you should believe and how you should be. Kodo Sawaki says, Zazen is really an amazing thing. When you're sitting, it doesn't seem like Zazen is anything particularly good. But when you see it from the outside, there's nothing that could be so majestic. I mean, I have that image from this morning, seeing you all sitting. With everything else, it's usually the other way around. Looked at objectively, there's not much to it. You're the only one who thinks what you're doing is so terribly important. How self-involved we can get. Thinking everything's our fault. Taking on too much. Thinking we're the greatest or the worst. So terribly important, as Kodo Sawaki says. But there is something so beautiful about it. Zazen. It's not doing anything particularly good, except we're learning how to be in the right size and shape to have some harmony in the world. How do you engage each moment equally? And not assume your life will be long. As John Mindrum's legacy reminds us, that this actual, the practice is about life and death, and how do you want to live? John was 36 years old and died on a dance floor, having an amazing time with friends. The assumption that we have more than we do, more than this moment, is misguided. So how do you want to be in the midst of your life when you don't know what will be next? When you find yourself getting caught up in old habitual patterns, how do you want to live? To me, that's the urgency of practice. But most of us are just, you know, thinking our stuff is so terribly important. And it's a way that we separate ourselves. Even from the path itself. In Master Dogen's 300 koan Chobo Genzo, so he also collected 300 koans that he loved very much among the, you know, many other things. And some people say, like, oh, koans don't have to do a soto, but actually the last night he was in China, he hand-copied the entire Blue Cliff record, which is long.
So in the case, the main case of that, of the 201st case in the 300 Koan Shobo Genso is Venerable Bodhidharma was about to go back to India. And he said to his students, the time has come. Can you express your understanding? So remember, this is the same theme. Not, can you express my understanding? Can you express yours? One of the students, so these are his kind of closest students, Dao Fu said, my present view is that we should neither be attached to letters nor be apart from letters. And to allow the way is to function freely. Beautiful. Bodhidharma said, well, you've attained my skin. That's really just an outside experience, not intimate. Anyone relate to relating to their life and practice like that? And then nun Zongxi, so one of his students was this amazing nun. And she said, my view is that it is like the joy of seeing Buddha's land just once and not again. He said, you've attained my flesh. So getting in there. Dao Yu said, the four great elements are originally empty and the five skandhas do not exist. Therefore, I see nothing to be attained. So heady his students were. The understanding is good, but so heady. So important. Bodhidharma said, you've attained my bones. Finally, Weiki, who you may remember from another story, who so wanted to be a student that he cut off his arm and stood in the snow for a long time. Weiki came forward, that's such a different attitude. He came forward and made a full bow to his teacher. Stood up and returned to his seat. Bodhidharma said, you have attained my marrow. And thus transmitted the Dharma to Huiki. So important. Again and again, the teachings about doing and not about what you say. In particular, about our self-importance and how our self-importance gets in the way. Many people think that it's about the practices about what you say. The capping verse says, before a step is taken, you have already arrived. Before a word is spoken, the truth has been expressed fully. In order to actually engage this kind of practice, it can't be
about your self-importance. Self-consciousness.
Or a greed of how we want others to see us. Because that's what's felt first. So humbling. So humbling. In Catch Your Mind, we are studying a number of fascicles of Dogen, and today we're studying making a bow and getting the marrow. So delicious. I mean, I love even the title of that. Making a bow and getting to the marrow. So, of course, this is the echo Dogen reflecting on Weiki and Bodhidharma's intimacy. So important. It's rare that we actually can reflect on the intimacy with our direct experience and the intimacy with our teacher. Many of us don't often even allow ourselves to be taught because we're so into our self-importance or afraid or are just, you know, running our patterns. And when we're fully running our patterns, most people don't exist. At least that's definitely my experience. In the very beginning of making a bow and getting the marrow, I just want to focus on the first two sentences. He says, when one practices Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, the most difficult thing is to find a guide. In other words, you can't do this by yourself. And it's one thing that many of us might believe that. I'm down with that. Or even have a teacher. But do we really allow them to teach us? Do you really allow them to be received? I find that that's one of the most important things. And then he says, without taking the form of either male or female, so it doesn't really matter, the guide should be a great person, should be such a person. Daijobu. Which could also mean something else. In an ordinary parlance, Daijobu can mean brave or strong, but is used in Buddhism to translate Maha Purusa, great person. So a great person is brave and strong. I feel that way about my teacher. He's brave and strong. so sweet. And like, I know for myself, I would have that like, oh, he's a great person. Yes, he is. How do you allow that, you know, to allow the bravery and strength to be a teacher? How do you allow it in? How do you reflect on the marrow? What is it that you actually want? And if you're not rearranging on that kind of level, the practice doesn't really penetrate. I've been spending some time on we call it our pre-Shabbos calls with a couple who he's dying. And in many ways, as they talk about that, their marriage is dying. He has metastatic cancer in his marrow, in his bones. And just yesterday, he said, well, maybe I'm just becoming someone else. And there is a way that he said that. It was like this little glimmer that came through his fear. Because it is so normal to be afraid of what we don't know. Very popular. Or as he's also experiencing rage against what's happening. Understandable. And yet then to allow this glimmer of like, wait, but you know, on the other hand, I could be becoming someone else, becoming something else. And as he often reminds me that we can have more of a life than less. But if we become so obsessed with thinking in some ways, in some binary way, that I have to be good even, instead of real, then what we try to squash and kind of like the sort of popular negative emotions, I don't even believe in that. But if we try to like squash half of our life, it only becomes weirder. It's like a beach ball. I always think of that. It's like pushing a beach ball under the water, and eventually it pops up in your face. For this practice is not about suppression, not about a cult. It's about actually, can you allow yourself to become something that you don't know, but feel, and feel moved by, that you sense. And it does require everything. So if you're trying it out, that's what you'll get. But if you really plunge in, that's what you get. And one way is not the right way. But as far as I know, it requires liberation. liberation requires liberation.
Thank you.